And that was now what they were to look to for their guidance. So we'll start in verse 1. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering, by many convincing proofs appearing to them over a period of 40 days, and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. And gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And so when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, "Lord, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or epochs which your Father has fixed by his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, even to the remotest parts of the earth." Lord, bless your word. Let us take it, Lord, and let us be able to live it, Father. You know, my first point is there's some things that we need to realize. There's things that we need to have and to do as believers in Jesus Christ. And the first thing that we need to realize from this text is we need to realize the times we're in. Now, you can say, "Hey, wait a minute. You just said that Jesus said it's not for you to know the times or epochs the Father has fixed by his own authority." If you take that as a standalone, then you're missing the context. You're missing the entire scripture, because many, many, many times we are told in scripture by Jesus himself to be on the alert, to be watching for the coming of the Lord. The disciples wanted to know the exact date because they wanted to know when the due date is. Now, we all want to know when the due date is. I invite people over for dinner, and I'm expecting them at 6 o'clock, and never fails, 5:45, I am racing around like a wild woman trying to get those last few things done in the house clean. Now, I knew a week ago they were coming at 6, but that last minute, I put the big rush on. God is not giving you the exact date. Those things that you are putting off, waiting for the coming of the Lord, that family member you're putting off praying for, you're not going to get the exact date. Expect it any moment. Matthew 24 is a wonderful chapter dealing with the end times and the coming of the Lord. And there's a phrase that appears in there. And in fact, just about every time you see Jesus talking about the end times, this phrase appears. It's "be on the alert." Even so, you too, when you see these things, it says in verse 24 of Matthew, verse 23, chapter 24, verse 33, "Recognize that he is near right at the door. But of that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Therefore, because of that, because you don't know, be on the alert. For you do not know which day your Lord is coming. Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes." Matthew 25:13. "Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour." Ephesians 6 says, "Be on the alert." And this is in the context of praying. And praying in the Spirit, it says, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. When I read this, in the context of the Acts, and Jesus is saying, wait for the Holy Spirit. Wait for the Holy Spirit. You don't know. I'm not going to give you the day. I'm not going to give you the hour. You be waiting for it, and you rely on the Holy Spirit. Ephesians is saying, pray in the Spirit. Be on the alert with all perseverance. This is all connected. The end times, being on the alert, praying in the Spirit. There is a connection here that you can't miss. And when I read these scriptures, I might have used this illustration before concerning the coming of the Lord, but I don't know how many of you guys ever had those jack-in-the-boxes. You know full well that thing is going to pop out of there. You know it is. So you're turning the knob, and the one that we had never popped up at the same time. It would always pop up whenever it felt like it. So you never really knew, but you knew it was coming. So you're ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. And you jump backwards, and then you pop it back down in there. Ba boom, 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 boom. It always catches you, like when you don't expect it. Be on the alert, because the hour is coming when you don't expect it. The point here is be watching, be ready. You don't need the exact day. You need to know, though, that it is soon. Scripture is such an incredible, detailed account of what it's going to be like in the last days. And brothers and sisters, if you've read it, you already know what I'm going to say. It's upon us, amen? It is so upon us. And we need to be watching and ready. Daniel and verse 2 to 3 reads like this. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed in the books the number of years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of desolation of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. This was a well-known date. Nebuchadnezzar had gone in and had held Jerusalem, and then when the time came, they just totally sacked Jerusalem. Jerusalem was burned. It was razed right to the ground. The temple was completely leveled. It was desecrated. The walls of Jerusalem had fallen already, and the inner walls were coming down now, and it was the time of the great captivity. There were no more free Jews after that day in time, and Jeremiah said that this is going to last from that day until the rebuilding is going to be 70 years. Now, this was an encouraging prophecy, amen? This was a good thing. This is only going to last 70 years. All we got to do is last 70 years. And Daniel, seeing this, he's going, hey, wait a minute. Jeremiah said 70 years. And we're coming up to that time. We're coming up to that 70 years. And so what did Daniel do? So I gave my attention to the Lord, to seek him by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Now, this is a great man, and obviously he was in the scriptures and he studied it. And he knew that what God said was going to happen. Daniel had confidence in God to fulfill his word. But even though Daniel was certain that this was going to happen because God said it was going to happen, even though he was certain of it, yet Daniel felt this need to pray, not just a little bit. He prayed with sackcloth and ashes and fasting. This is intense prayer. He knew God's word was going to be fulfilled whether he prayed or not. Why did he do that? And you see, people, God's word is going to be fulfilled whether we do our part or not. God does not depend on us, and yet it's important that we do it. Can I rephrase that just a little bit? It's important that you do it because the great shaking is taking place in the spiritual world, and we are wanting things from God, and we don't know why it's not happening. Jesus said, when I come, will my people have any faith? Will they even believe that praying makes a difference? It makes a difference, and it needs to come from us. We are the people of God that have the power of God, and we need to release that power, and we need to pray for our loved ones that are not serving God. We need to be praying for our marriages that are under attack by the enemy. We need to be praying for our children that have had their brains so polluted with worldview that by the time they leave high school, they don't come back into the church. We need to pray against the doctrines of demons. Are we doing our job, or are we sitting in the pew feeling defeated and sad and beaten up? I would say most Christians feel hopeless. Most Christians say it's going to happen anyway. It was prophesied. Not for my son, it wasn't. My son, I'm going to claim the word. I'm going to claim God's power over my family. And then when I'm done, I'm claiming it over your family. And when I'm done, I'm claiming it over this town. But you got to start. Don't just lay down and say, oh, I give up. Rather say, it is time to wake up and to be on the alert. The time is short. The time is short. We need to recognize the times we're in. And we need to recognize the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus did not want them going out and to establish the church without receiving first the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to do more than survive. This is a spiritual, critical time. It's critical. And we are both flesh and spirit. Your flesh is going to expire. Your spirit is going to live eternally. And yet we give so little attention to the part of us that is eternal. And we give so much of attention to the part of us that's called a clay pot. And it's going to be busted up. It's going to turn back into dust. We're so worried about the flesh. And so unconcerned about spiritual things. I want to look at three scenarios from the Bible, and I want to talk to you about the power of the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. Seven sons of Sceva. They went in, and they were watching Jesus' disciples casting out demons, and they thought, we could do these. Now, for those of you who don't know why they say the seven sons of Sceva, Sceva was a Jewish high priest. They knew the word, and they were jealous of the church when it was beginning to be established. But they watched what the disciples did. And the disciples would go up to someone demonically possessed, and they would cast that demon out in the name of Jesus, and the demon would leave. And they wanted to do the same thing. They didn't believe so much in Jesus, but hey, it works, so let's do it. And so they went into a room where they knew there was a man that was there. He was possessed by a demon. And they were no more interested, I think, in the welfare of that man than they were for their own personal glory, but that's just my thinking. And they went in there, and they're going to cast out this demon in the name of Jesus, even though they don't even know who Jesus is. And do you know the story, most of you? They got beat up. They got beat up. They went running out of there naked and yelling and bruised and bleeding. This must have been some bizarre event that took place there, and everybody saw it. You see, they had no power. They had no power. They were powerless. The disciples in Matthew 17, now they had cast out demons before, and Jesus was up on the mountain, and he's having this wonderful experience, and Peter is there, and he's meeting Elijah, Moses, and then he's coming down from the mountain, and I'm sure the disciples that were with him were on a real emotional high. I love those moments. But they come down, and there's a crowd gathered there, and now the disciples had the power, but they couldn't cast the demon out. They were ineffective. They were ineffective, and it's clearly suggested that they were ineffective because they had a weak prayer life, a very weak prayer life. Jesus is frustrated even. Say, how long am I going to suffer with you guys? Where's your faith? Now, he's saying something about their faith, but then later he says this power comes out by prayer. So I think there is a connection between faith and prayer. If you're not praying, your faith is going to get weaker and weaker. It's like any muscle in your body. If you're not using it, it gets weak. When I had a cast on my leg, some of you might have seen it. After that cast came off, it was pretty nasty looking. My leg was so skinny. Because I didn't use those muscles while I had the cast on. But once I got the cast off, I started building up the muscle again, started using it. Your prayer life is like that muscle. If you're not using it, it's getting weak. So we have the disciples here who couldn't cast this demon out. Thank you, Jesus, for doing it. They couldn't get the demon out because they were ineffective. So we have ones that are powerless, and we have the disciples who were ineffective. And then we have Peter. Now, Peter, we all know, he blew it. He was in the garden with Jesus. Jesus says, you're going to deny me three times. No, I'm not. And Jesus said that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we know Peter denied Jesus. I mean, that was powerless there. But Peter came back. And when Peter came back, he was one of the most prominent church planters of that time. And he had the Holy Spirit on him. He went toe-to-toe with the same ones that he ran from and hid from and lied about. And he said, you can tell me not to preach the name of Jesus, but I'm going to do it because God said I'm to do it. That is the same guy. Now he's got power. Now he's got power. So many believers are in such fear of being overcome by the enemy. And they can't overcome him, and they're ineffective. And then there's us who need the power of the Holy Spirit. Matthew says, and Jesus says in Matthew, and I don't have the exact number here, all authority is given to Jesus. Whatever you ask, Jesus said, in my name, whatever you ask in my name, because you have the power. You're not like the seven sons of Sceva. You have the power. Luke 24:49 says, and behold, I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. That was before the ascension. That was promised. That's the promise Jesus was referring here. And Peter, on the day of Pentecost, quoted this scripture, and the one from Joel that we all know, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Acts 2:39 says, for this promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. If you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, this is for you. The power and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit swept through that room. They began to speak with other tongues. They felt that Holy Spirit move. And this power is for all who are afar off. These gifts of the Spirit that we are talking about, if you read, it is to give the church strength. And church, if we're not using it, I have to ask myself why. It's for all. I'd already read this one, Ephesians 6:18. Pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all petition for the saints. I passionately believe it's time for us to stop being ineffective. We need to do as Paul commanded Timothy. He said, Timothy, through the laying on of hands, stir up again the spiritual gifts that lie within you. God gave you the gifts of the Spirit, some of you, and you never did anything with it. That's not for a moment. It's not for a wonderful time at a retreat, and it is wonderful. But it's to be used. It has a purpose. When Paul said to Timothy, for this reason I remind you to kindle afresh the gift. The word for gift there is charisma. And that's the same word that we see used in Acts and the same Acts 2 when they receive the charisma, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the speaking of in tongues. That's the same word that they use also in Corinthians 12 when we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, the charisma. And I would encourage you that when Daniel prayed, he didn't have this, but when he prayed, things began to happen in the spiritual realm that he didn't know of. There was angel warfare going on that he found out about later. He prayed for days and days and days. He probably felt nothing, but that did not stop him. And he had a tremendous impact, we know. And he gave us scriptures of prophecy that we have because the angel was able to come and give it to him. But you can believe that any time God is about to do something great, there is going to be a spiritual battle. Because if I'm going to push somebody out of a spot that they've had for a long time, you can be sure they're not going to let me do it easily. And if you're going to start pushing the enemy out of your home, if you're going to start pushing the enemy out of your own life, out of your wherever you're going to push, he's not going to go easy. There's a battle that's going to take place. You need power. And God has given you the power. Say to this mountain, be gone. Thank you, Pastor Dan, for that word from the Lord. Say to this mountain, be gone, and it goes. But we pray like sissies, if I can dare to say it. It's time to pray with power. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Esther today. She was an orphan. Her uncle raised her. He was a fairly prominent man. And the king was looking for a new wife. and he's gathering together all the pretty girls, and he gets Esther, and this could be a Disney story if you skip the first part and the last part, but he gets Esther, and he looks at her, and he receives her as his wife, a beautiful story, and now she's the queen. And there's a man in the kingdom who didn't like her uncle Mordecai. He didn't know that Esther was his niece, but he didn't like Mordecai, and so this evil man, Haman, he set out to destroy not just Mordecai, but every Jew in the country, and Mordecai obviously was a Jew. And so now there's a date set that they're going to go through and wipe out all the Jews. They're going to just massacre them. There's a name for it. It leaves me right now when they wipe out an entire nation. And Mordecai went to Esther, and he confronted Esther about it. Now, she's the queen. And now Vashti, the predecessor to her, got in trouble for not following protocol when the king called. She didn't come and strut her stuff. And so there's a fear just going into the king. He has to ask for her. And so Mordecai is saying, you got to talk to the king. And Esther's, oh, no, this is scary. I can't do that. You know, he has to ask for me. And Mordecai makes these powerful words to Esther. If you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise from the Jews from another place. It'll happen. We're going to get delivered. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows, maybe you were put here for such a time as this. Now, so many of us, we need to shift our thinking. You see, you are not here in this year because you were born 20 years ago, 40, 50, some of you more years ago. That's not why you're here right now. You are here right now because God intended you to be here right now for such a time as this. He has mobilized you to be here in this day, in this time. It was deliberate. It's not out of chance. And as we shift our thinking, you got to realize that you are called to pray for such a time as this. Now, Daniel, he knew God was going to fulfill his word. He prayed. We know Jesus is going to fulfill his word. We need to pray. Mordecai knew that the Jews would be delivered. And what did Esther say? Pray. She had everybody praying. She said, not just me. I'm not doing this alone. You all get down and you fast and you pray because I'm not going in there without God. And that's how we should be. We know for certain what lies ahead of us. Nothing we can say is going to change that. But our prayers can change mighty things, and we should be praying. Jesus has given you the power and authority to take on powerful demonic forces. And I know some of you get nervous when I say that word, demonic forces, but you got the power to overcome. You've got the power to overcome, to overpower demonic forces. Just read Ephesians. And you are just as much a spiritual being as you are a flesh being. You are just as much involved in the spiritual world, although most of us are unaware of it, as we are in the flesh world. Jesus overcame the enemy and gave that power to us through the Holy Spirit. Matthew 16, verses 18 to 19, Jesus is speaking. I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock, and the rock was Jesus, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it. I gave you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We need in our prayer life to be binding up demonic forces, binding up demonic lies and doctrines of demon. We need to bind this up. And we need to loose the power of God upon situations. We need to loose the power of God to bring about change. Ephesians 6:18, pray at all times. Paul said, I pray in the spirit and I pray with understanding also. Jesus' words to us is, go in the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And he who has believed and has been baptized will be saved, and he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And these are the signs that will accompany those who have believed. These are the signs that will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit. They will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. Now, I'm not saying go pick up a snake or drink poison. That's just silliness. When Satan had Jesus on the temple and he said, throw yourself off because God said he'll catch you. And Jesus said, yeah, he will, but listen, you're not to tempt the Lord your God. So don't do stupid like that. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. This is a spiritual work. Everything listed that Jesus said is a spiritual work and cannot be done without spiritual power. When Jesus was feeding the 5,000 people, that was just the men. He was trying to teach the disciples a valuable lesson. He said to them with an exclamation mark, I preached this once a long time ago, you give them something to eat. Exclamation mark. Oh, what do you mean give them something? We got nothing. We already told you we got nothing. What are we supposed to do? You give them something to eat. You see, Jesus wanted to teach them a valuable lesson. The work that you do for God is impossible for you to do aside from the power of God. You need the power of God. And I believe that everyone in this room is here for such a time as this. And Gina is going to come and she's going to play softly. I want to talk to you about a challenge that I'm going to give you, because we need to do something. We need to do something. We can hear these sermons all we want, but it changes nothing if we don't react, if we don't pray. I'm going to give you an opportunity today. If you've never received the gift of the Holy Spirit, I want you to come here, and we are going to anoint you with oil. We are going to pray over you, and we are going to seek God. And when you feel that Holy Spirit come on you, I want you to begin to speak in tongues, and I want you to receive that wonderful, powerful gift of the Holy Spirit. I also need you to take up a prayer challenge and not just pray for a week after you hear a sermon on prayer and then fall. The psychologists say it takes about 60 to 90 days before you can form a habit. And we usually last 7, maybe 14 on a good stretch. I'm going to be giving out these. Esther's name means star, so that's why I picked a star. But I ran out, and some of you are going to get hearts if you want them. I want you to take one of these papers, and I want you to set a time on how much you are going to pray in the Spirit. And every day that you accomplish your goal, whether it be 5 minutes or 20 minutes, I want you to put a star on your calendar. And in your calendar, every day you put that star, you're encouraged. And you can see that you've done when you don't have a star, it should affect you. And you get your star back on there. And you'll begin to see the progress. You know what's going to happen is you're going to start to pray in the Spirit. I had to set the timer on my phone. I was dedicated to keep a challenge that I gave a while ago. I have a 5-minute timer on my phone. And I was going to pray 5 minutes in the Spirit every day. That's how it started. Then it turned in, I'm going to pray for everything on my prayer list. I'm going to pray for 5 minutes in the Spirit and with understanding for everything on my prayer list. So I put my timer on. You know what happened? That timer started to hold me back. At first, it was like, is that thing ever going to go? Now it holds me back. I ignore it. I ignore it. I'm not going to limit myself to 5 minutes. Want to go beyond that, amen? But you got to start. You got to start. You got to start praying with power. You got to pray in the Spirit and with understanding also. Because if you're not praying, you're laying down. And when the Lord comes, blessed is that servant whom the Lord finds. You want change in your life? You want God to work through you and to use you? You need the power. You want to be ineffective like the disciples against that demon and let the enemy have those strongholds and until somebody else comes along, hopefully? No, you won't want to be ineffective. You want to have a powerful prayer life. Amen. I'm going to put these up here. And if you want to take the challenge and you want to start praying in the Spirit and you want to put a time on it and get the habit formed, grab yourself a sheet of stickers for your calendar and establish that habit of praying in the Spirit. Also, I want every head bowed right now, every eye closed. I don't want anybody looking around, nobody.